Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever it is that you are. I'm Jake Potter. I'm the Director of Public Relations for the Leavenworth School District, and welcome to our new district podcast, 453 Fireside, where I am joined by our superintendent of schools, Dr. Kellen J. Adams. How are you, Dr. Adams?
Doing well, Jake. Always a pleasure spending time with you.
So we have not had a district podcast in Leavenworth for a couple of years now. We did it previously in 2019, 2020, largely student-focused, student co-hosts would bring in students and staff. I think this one will be different. As we talked about this idea, Dr. Adams, what are your thoughts on bringing a podcast to our district and our state?
Sure. Well, first, I'm glad to hear that there is a precedent that's been set. My vision may be a little different. We'll see how this goes, obviously. But as you're well aware, always looking to expand upon our communication offerings. We started with the school community updates last year, had good feedback on those, and I am looking at other avenues that reach other audiences. And I think that there is a healthy, let's call it a healthy audience out there that likes podcasts, enjoys listening to them while they're driving and otherwise. And for me, this is a chance to get away from the weekly updates where we're just trying to stay relevant to maybe what's coming down in the next week, 10 days, and dive in deeper to topics, which I think is hopefully an intent of mine, and I think you share that as well.
So I think as these things get released, Leavenworth, Kansas, our Fort Leavenworth, all those connected communities are going to know who we are more quickly, but it's possible that people would find us from out of state, around the globe. Describe our district or some of the unique things that make us different maybe than other, you know, other districts out there.
Absolutely. We are very unique. I would agree. There's 286 school districts in Kansas, and we are the fourth smallest geographically. So you've got districts as large as 900 square miles, and we are only 17 square miles. And so what is interesting for us is not even the entire city of Leavenworth is in our district. Probably the second thing that makes us unique is the military installation that is directly to our north. And it's affectionately known as the intellectual capital of the Army. It's where obviously a lot of our Army officers are trained for their next station and otherwise. And what that brings is a unique annualized, if you will, cycle of those students and their obviously their respective students of ours. What I also like is the number of international officers that come their way. And so I believe last year at Leavenworth High School, you had 37 countries represented. The second thing that makes our district pretty unique is we're almost like this micro-urban feel. In a lot of regards, we are very much a rural county and a very much a rural state. But I would argue that here in Leavenworth, we're very much the micro-urban or micropolitan is probably a better way of describing that. So those would be some things that are unique to our district.
In terms of you and I think you or I will be involved in each of these podcast episodes, either both or one or the other. This will be my 15th year in the Leavenworth School District, and my job is largely categorized under school PR, although, as you know, I get a lot of different special projects that come my way, which is awesome and keeps every day different. This is your second year as superintendent of Leavenworth Schools, but talk a little bit about your school leadership background, even dating back to your time as a classroom teacher.
Sure. 17-year educator, started, as you just alluded to, as a classroom teacher for 5 years, where I was actually born and raised in Hayes, and then have now been in either building or district administration for 11 years. So first served at the building level as a K-12 principal, which I really enjoyed. It gave me a wide breadth of experience, and then moved into the district office, focusing specifically on the operational side. And this is actually my second superintendency, so 4 years in a previous district, and then as you just alluded to, 2 years here in Leavenworth.
Okay. And what makes Leavenworth different than other places you've been?
Sure. I would say from my personal experience, I have largely been in rural environments. In fact, I frequently use the phrase, my first principalship, there were more animals than people in that county. And I mean that when I say it. It was a pheasant hunting, deer hunting kind of place, just not very densely populated. You get here, we are heavily densely populated. And as I just talked about earlier, not really a rural feel, in my opinion, much more of that micropolitan or urban feel.
Okay. And in terms of previewing out the year ahead, our plan is to at least record and release 2 episodes per month of 453 Fireside. Talk a little bit, though, about you know, as it's a meeting, you know, we have cabinet meetings on a weekly basis, typically on Mondays. Even things like this where we're scheduling time to be in studio, if you will. But there's also a whirlwind that happens in schools. You talk through what might be a normal day, but also what might be a day where everything else has to take, you know, backseat to some emergency or pressing situation, whether it be board-related or parent-driven.
Sure. I like the term you use, whirlwind, and it's one we're using more frequently with our cabinet. And it happens. It happens quickly sometimes and without warning, just like in the real world in meteorology, right? But what frequently I see more often than not is the most unscheduled days can quickly become consumed with issues that are arising at the building level. And I know you've heard me say this, but I see our role here at the district office is to support buildings. And so the last thing I want is for our buildings to be in the whirlwind and we're not joining them and helping support them along that way. Board meeting Mondays and or any follow-up to board meetings can specifically be a whirlwind as we're preparing for and getting ready for a lot of the cadence that goes with board meetings. And then obviously reacting to what decisions were made and what things need to be implemented and otherwise. And then the second thing I would argue happens frequently in districts is we go through regular and consistent cadences and cycles for whether it be an annualized testing window or a monthly meeting that occurs with several different stakeholders across groups. And as you begin to try to schedule those very quickly, the day can be consumed to where there's very little left that is unscheduled, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. In your mind, this medium where it's more, you know, we're uninterrupted, we get to bring on guests, you know, folk, more conversation. What are some of the topics that you think that we could bring to this podcast that would help to elevate understanding of our challenges and opportunities of either a singular issue or something that, you know, goes for months and years at a time in education?
Absolutely. And that's really where I want to see the focus for this podcast is to dive deeper into issues. I'd rather go deep versus wide. Our school community updates are great, but they're very much relevant to what's going on the next 7 to 10 days typically, right? These can be much more timeless in nature. So immediately off the top of my head, I think about things like student behavior and the challenges that we've seen just within the last really 3 to 4 years, but specifically here in Leavenworth, something that continues to percolate daily for us. I think it's time that we have a real honest conversation about that, and that would be something to dive into really deep there. Another thing that continues to be a constant for us, and I think not just here in Leavenworth, but also nationally and certainly statewide, is the staffing challenges. And why is it that educators are leaving in droves? And why is it that we're seeing many, many of our classrooms, again, both here in Leavenworth and nationally, that do not have a top-notch educator in there? Because we simply have dried up the pools, right? And talking about the implications for that economically as well as for the school system. And then there's other topics that may be a little more germane, but or in specific to our interests. I know that taxes, property taxes, the budget-related conversations are certainly something that's, I would say, a very popular topic here in Leavenworth County. I would love to dive more into that and the challenges we have there. So those are a couple that come immediately to my mind.
And let's be honest, you're kind of a numbers nerd, so you could have just a series about taxes and mill levy and those kinds of things, right?
We could have that every week if you'd like.
Right. And I don't mean to undersell that. You're like one of the best in terms of communicating school finance and making that easy for the layperson to understand, because that can be super complex and none of that's made in a way that makes sense to most individuals that have to pay into that stuff and figuring out where it goes. So we definitely want to circle back to that topic. And then spoiler alert, already looking ahead to what would be our next full episode where we bring some guests in. Student behavior, I think, will be the focus because we're doing some things differently this year. And I think this would be a good medium to expand on that particular topic. But going back to like real time, so we're just a few days into the school year. But before that, we went through a June and July, and there are people out there that think that even my family assumes that I'm on vacation for 60 days. What are some of the things that happen in June and July behind the scenes that some people, especially those maybe without school-aged children, have no idea happen? That's when teachers are off for the most part, so they do get time away, although we do have summer school and summer conditioning, so it's not like our buildings are ever closed. But just paint a picture for what June and July looks like as a school administrator.
Sure. And you make a great point. I've actually had people that have asked me, hey, how was your summer break? And I think it is just coming from a place of honesty. They do not know that my position, as well as several others, are 12-month. So first you alluded to, we never fully shut down. We have summer programming that continues to occur. We have what's known as extended school year. That is part of our special education program. You also then have credit recovery. That is specifically more for high school students. And then driver training is another time that typically takes place over the summer. And then, of course, the old coach and me, that was the best time to get heavy conditioning. And now with the expansion of some of the things that our State High School Activities Association has done, we can have additional practices and or simulations with coaches and athletes interacting directly. So that's been good, I think, in my opinion, for the development of our athletic programs. Away from the instructional side, it is a time of preparation, cleaning, if you will, and or getting ready for the next year. So I'll kind of hit on a couple different departments as I can see them. But typically summer projects, and what I mean by projects, I'm talking capital projects. So, for example, an old service driveway that you've got to saw cut, remove, jackhammer, et cetera. You don't want to typically try to do that during the school year. I look out the window here and I see the disruption that is caused on 4th Street. We're going to try not to do those projects during the school year. But there's an 8-week, 10-week moratorium where we can queue up things like that. We had to take an elevator offline at one of the buildings. Obviously, you start to run into accessibility issues when you do that. So a good time to service an elevator is during the summer. And so whether it be projects that we self-perform or projects that have been contracted out, that is typically when the majority of our projects are take place. The second is what I call the deep cleaning. So to be clear, we clean classrooms every night in preparation for the next day. But that is typically very much the surface cleaning is what this is described as. So we're going to clean the surface of all the desktops. We're going to clean the surface of the carpet, et cetera. But we don't really ever have these opportunities to do what's called the deep clean. And so the deep clean occurs typically during the summer. And that's typically where every single item is removed from a classroom. And we fully disinfect and we fully go through every single aspect of that. Sometimes they'll bring in air, compressed air, and they will literally blow through the classroom to get through any and all of the dust that's accumulated throughout the year. That's also when you strip back and then obviously reapply finish on your gym floors. Well, you can't do that during the school year because between PE classes and anything else that goes on in there, you don't want to take a gymnasium out of commission for 5 to 7 days. And then the last thing I could think of would be with regard to our IT department. So I think through like summer work that occurred this year, for example, we were blessed with having some resources that brought in new smart boards, and I was able to see some of them in action the last couple of days. And then here shortly, we're going to upgrade all of the classroom audio. You typically don't want to try to roll out massive amounts of new infrastructure like that during the school year. You'd rather get that in place during the summer and then be able to implement as teachers come back. So those would be a couple of the highlights I can think of that go on during the summer.
And then talk about, so principals get basically a month off, really.
Yep.
Then they come back middle of July. Talk through, as a superintendent, what it's like to bring them back and sort of reset, you know, for a school year. In some cases, we have new faces that we're trying to integrate into part of a team. You know, the district leadership kind of things that happen July. And then also our brand new teachers actually start with us kind of end of July into the early August, followed by the next week when all teachers come back. So just like the rhythm of that kind of 2 to 3 week period, even before, you know, while students are actively being enrolled.
Yep. I refer to this as we bring them back in waves, right? And so the first wave, as you just alluded to, is our building leaders. And I think this year they came back approximately 4 weeks before the first day of school. And then, as you just also alluded to, our next wave would probably be our new teachers. And they come back a little sooner than the rest of the returning teachers. And then this year, for the first time, I believe, ever, you obviously would know the history of this, but we brought back the start of each school class. So what I mean by that is the fifth graders, for example. The first graders, because they're the first class at their respective building, they came back a day earlier, and that was to help them with transitions. So first to our administrative team, this is a chance for them to come in, like you said, and reset. And we'll have both district level as well as building level objectives that we're trying to meet. With the district level, I would say heavy focus is on that collaboration piece and or making sure that they understand expectations for us. There was some training that occurred early on, and then I was really happy about the service learning project that took place with them later in that that 2-week time frame. But that's a chance for them to come back and coalesce not only just as a total group, but also then as their specific building level groups. So we had things that affected the entire group of all building administrators that we did together. As you're well aware, we were part of what was known as the Working Genius, in which we looked at individual strengths and or weaknesses within each team, as well as collectively as a team. And then I know of building level things that occurred, say, for example, at the middle school. Those six individuals are working on how do we best manage what are really two sites, but treating it as one campus, right? That does not happen naturally. That has to happen through intentionality. And so if we don't bring our principals back until just a day before the teachers return, those kinds of things won't occur. So there has to be that time frame before. For our new teachers, we're blessed with a teaching and learning department that takes this stuff very seriously. So they have what's called NTA, New Teacher Academy, and it's unlike anything that I've ever been a part of, but is heavily focused on making sure that those new folks are ready to go in the classroom. And I believe it was either 3 or 4 days, what I would describe as heavily intensive training and or professional development that was specifically geared towards making sure they were onboarded and properly ready to be a part of our team. And then, like I said, the new student or first student transitions, haven't yet had a chance to reflect on those yet, but so far the feedback I've gotten was that it was really good. It was a chance for those students to experience the building in a smaller environment. So if you think about it, if you're a first grader, it's pretty intimidating to come into a building where all the second, third, and fourth graders are. But here was a day in which you were the only kids in the building. And so the intention there was obviously to help with our transitions.
And then all of our staff, or all of our teaching staff, returns August 5th, basically a week and a day before the start of all full day of learning with students. What does that week look like in terms of, you know, maybe share with listeners that there's a number of state mandated trainings that have to occur. Building principals want to give professional development and team building school-wide, but there's also some district-wide pieces, as well as an annual event that we call Convocation, which is one of our only opportunities to bring everybody under the roof at the same time. As a leader, as you're planning those things, what does that week look like in terms of bringing teachers back that have been off and then kind of throwing them back into the work cycle?
Sure. That would be one of the waves I didn't reference, but if I recall, this year they would have come back 6 working days before the first day of school. So first, you alluded to some mandated trainings, and those continue to just increase in both number, quantity, if you will, as well as time. And so we've had to create intentional time for our teachers to be able to do those. And these are everything from suicide awareness to bloodborne pathogens. And in my opinion, it's a good chance annually to remind people of all the various things that they have been charged with under their duty, under their care. Second, you alluded to both these district-level activities as well as building level. So this year, which I think we're going to talk about a little bit later, is a really important topic that we decided, hey, we need to devote some specific time to, and that was the implementation or beginning of implementation of safe and civil schools. So one day specifically was earmarked for those trainers to come out and begin introducing those topics. And so there was an entire first day, which I believe occurred on Monday the 5th, if memory serves me correctly. We also then had the district-wide convocation, which a big shout out to our PR interns, as well as yourself for coordinating that. But that was 2 hours of what I would describe as a total district event. If you work for the district in any capacity, you're there. And obviously highly motivational, a really great theme, and just a good way to overall kick off the year from a positive standpoint. And then you get into building level. Specifically, this is going to be coordinated typically by the principal. And so now they're talking more building level goals, building level specifics. And those are obviously going to be given, the principals are going to be given autonomy on how they direct those. But what we don't do is bring teachers back just a day before kids, ask them to get their room ready, and then, hey, here come the kids. There is really some intentionality with how we bring them back, reset, if you will, mind frame that you may not have thought about school for 8 or 10 weeks, and that's absolutely okay, right? That was your time off during the summer. But now is a chance to reset, get back into the game time mode, so to speak, as well as knock out several of these things. And in the case of this year, bring in something that we know we needed to front load, which was that safe and civil schools. And then we usually cap it off with a work day because we recognize they need time to work in classrooms. They need time to physically set up their space and make sure it's inviting and ready for kids. And then, as you know, we brought them back on Tuesday the 13th.
And then even behind the scenes at the more global level, you're facilitating Board of Education meetings where they're doing important things like reviewing building needs assessments and developing a budget and setting up public hearings to have that budget approved. Doesn't happen until September, but for the 24-25 school year. Talk about the work that goes into that, and maybe even just to credit the amount of time that our volunteer yet elected officials serve on local boards of education.
Sure. Yeah, you make a good point. They are volunteers, but they put in a lot of time. And yeah, so there might be a one monthly meeting that's 3 hours, but I can assure you that their time invested is far greater than that. So the topic that was just recently discussed, which was the building needs assessment, which ultimately is a part of a larger conversation related to how we direct funds, where do we prioritize resources, and ultimately how do we develop the budget. That started all the way back in the spring, and really probably back as early as January in the previous school year, when building principals were charged with developing the local team that would look at and establish their building needs and go through that assessment. And that assessment looks at everything from instructional needs to staffing needs to capital needs. And it is a chance for the building annually to say, hey, here's where we believe we're doing well, and here are the resources or gaps that we believe we need help with. And then obviously that all funnels to the district in hopes of creating a budget that is directly and specifically targeted towards shortening up some of those. That then led to the next presentation, which would have been in April for our Board of Education. Prior to each board meeting, I would say there is every bit of 2 to 3 hours for a board member to properly prepare. If you think about the agenda, and it may be a 3 hours in live time, but there are a number of documents that, in my opinion, Jake, if you're going to do that position, the proper justice, you've got to have properly read, ask the questions, research as appropriate, et cetera, right? And then, of course, there's several conversations that occur, quote-unquote, offline. Those may be questions from my office. They may be questions sometimes that go to you or HR or otherwise. But they are our board members attempting to understand and or have contextual background that may be lacking prior to the meeting so that they can come in as prepared as possible to make the best decisions possible. So, yes, I would absolutely applaud them. Again, entirely a volunteer position and not for somebody that's looking to have minimal time invested. If you want to do that position, the justice it deserves, you really need to invest heavily.
So our intent today was for this to be the pilot introductory episode and hopefully give us a chance to work out the rhythm flow. We did not have much of a pre-production meeting, we should admit, kind of jumped right into things. And I was also thinking this could be a 10 to 15 minute conversation. We're over 20, which I think lends itself to why we thought this would be a good idea, because it's easy to take a step back and talk about these kinds of topics that do get lost in the whirlwind and hopefully help our listeners to better understand all that's involved in a school district, not just opening the doors and feeding breakfast and lunches and 6.5 hours of learning, but lots of other steps that have to be taken. You talked about safe and civil schools. It is our plan for that to be our next episode. As another spoiler alert, each month with our Board of Education, we have topics that just happened last week, such as student cell phone usage or increasing transportation services. I think we could have full episodes dedicated to topics like that, and that would be the thought behind 453 Fireside, but also open to suggestions. So if people are listening out there, the way in which you would engage with our PR podcast team would be to email us at 453fireside@lvpioneers.org. For those outside of our district, LV is a short acronym for Leavenworth, so Leavenworth Pioneers. And we are the first school district in the state of Kansas. That's part of why we've gone with that Pioneers. And the city of Leavenworth is the first city in the state of Kansas. So again, those outside of Leavenworth, those are some fun facts about us. Not speaking today, but part of this team is Christian Skaggs. He's a recent graduate of Leavenworth High School. He's serving as our sound engineer. There may be a point in time where we mic him up, but that day and time will not be today. So thanks to all for listening to 453 Fireside. Our hope is to drop new episodes on Thursdays. If not every Thursday, then maybe every other Thursday. And we thank you for your time and interest in our school district. Anything else, Kellen?
Nope. I just want to say thank you for organizing this. And Christian, appreciate all your work on this as well. I am truly blessed to have a team that is able to support initiatives like this. So thank you all.
It was like 2 weeks ago you said, let's start a podcast. So here we go.